Good morning, church. I got to tell you, it's Father's Day. You all know that. But my heart is full today. You know, this is particularly a special day for Mike and myself. It's his first Father's Day and my first Grandfather's Day. And, you know, for all of you, you know how great it feels to be for some of you, you know how great it feels to be a grandfather. And for me, it's particularly amazing because, and I look at the goodness of our Father, because we were told that we couldn't have kids. And we have a beautiful, wonderful daughter who is now married to a wonderful man, Mike, and they have just given us a beautiful little grandson. And God is so good. And I just want to thank him for it. You know, I was reading an article, it was in the article there was a father's tribute. And it was about the author, John Drakeford. I don't know if you've ever read any of his stuff, but it was interesting because it was about how he dedicated one of his books. And in the front of it, it says this: "To my two sons, Warwick and Brenton, teachers in the art of family living, who in the process have put gray hairs on my head, bills in my pocket, illustrations in my sermons, happiness in my home, and pride in my heart." And you know, for me, that captures one of the fundamentals of a father's heart. You know, fathers are proud of their children, and they want to see them succeed. Amen? So I say happy Father's Day, and to all the fathers, may you be blessed with every blessing promised from our Heavenly Father. May you be bold and courageous and strong in the faith as you model God's design for fatherhood and family. You know, our culture, it needs fathers. It needs men like you who courageously reveal the heart of our Heavenly Father. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about a father's heart as seen in the Apostle Paul's life. In his relationship with the Corinthian church. See, Paul considered himself to be a father to the Corinthians. And so I've titled this talk, A Father's Heart. And it's important to understand that being a father is not simply restricted to biology. There are also adoptive fathers like I am, and there's spiritual fathers such as Paul was. And Paul's purpose in writing the letter to the Corinthians was to bring correction to some serious doctrinal error, some gross sexual immorality, and the awful way some of them were treating each other. And so let's take a look. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read to you verses 14 to 21. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Starting at verse 14 of chapter 4. I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church. Some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming, but I will come very soon. That sounds like wait till Dad gets home, eh? Some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come to you in love with a gentle spirit? So in chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says something very interesting. He says, even if you had 10,000 guardians, or some versions say teachers, you do not have many fathers. There's something special about a father. There's something special, you know, about the heart of a father. In verse 14, Paul explains that. He says that although his letter was sharp, it was not intended to shame them, but to bring correction and warn them of the seriousness of their actions and their behaviors. Now, I like how the Modern English Bible phrases verse 14. It says there in the Modern English Bible, it says, "I'm not writing you these things to make you ashamed, to dishonor and humiliate you." You know, that's important because fathers, you know what? They don't put shame on their children. In fact, our Heavenly Father, He delivered us from shame, amen? And so He says, "I'm not writing you to humiliate you, to dishonor you, to make you ashamed, but to warn you, since you are My loved children." What a beautiful expression of love. My loved children. And for Paul, these were not just some nice words, but it was an expression that had depth to it. It wasn't like, "You're my beloved children, on you go." It was an expression with depth. And it was an expression that carried weight because of Paul's commitment to him. It was like an embrace or a hug. You know, what motivates a father is the love that he has for his family, his children. A love he's not shy about expressing. And that's the very thing that motivated our Heavenly Father, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave that which was most precious to Him, His Son, that whoever believes on Him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's the very thing that motivates the Father's heart. And it has weight behind it because of His commitment to us. You know, what motivates a father is the love he has for his family. A love that he's not shy about expressing. You know, a father's hug, a daddy's hug, is a powerful thing. It creates an environment of security. It creates an environment of protection and safety. And the words, that he speaks, rather a dad's hug, it comes in different ways, you know. It comes with the physical embrace. It comes with the words we speak. It comes with the sacrifices we make. And it comes with the example we set. Father's not shy about his expressing his love. And a father's love is a love that carries weight because of his commitment to his family. Even as our Heavenly Father said, "I will never, ever leave you or forsake you." Paul said, "My dear children." You know, a father never abdicates his responsibility to his family, to his children. In verse 15, Paul warns, and the idea here is that you have lots of people who will want to tell you and teach you many different things. How many know there's lots of people that like to tell your children all sorts of things? You know, some of it might be good. Some of it might be not so good. Some of it may even try to turn your children against you by promoting values that are inconsistent with God's truth. You know, the same was true in Corinth. You know, sexual immorality was rampant. Sexual behaviors that were opposed to God's word were being normalized. What culture does that sound like today? Sexual behaviors that were opposed to God's word were being normalized. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you." And he's speaking to the church, by the way. "It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of the kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud." Wow. They were taking pride in their deviant behaviors. "And they were being drawn away by false teachers, causing all sorts of trouble. And as a result, some were turning against Paul. Paul, however, was not going to be put off by that." It was through Paul's perseverance. It was through his sacrifice that the Corinthians came to a new life in Christ. And he was not about to let his children slip away that easily. Because he was committed to them. He was committed to them to see them walk in the truth. So he fought for them. He did not hand them over to the culture. He didn't go, well, whatever you want that. Well, whatever, I'm done with it. You go your own way. He was committed to them, and so he fought for them. And he didn't hand them over to the culture of the day. He fought for them. How did he fight for them? He fought for them by affirming his love for them. My dear children. He fought for them by bringing correction and truth to them. He fought for them by letting his life stand as an example of the truth and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of personal cost. In fact, he says, I urge you to imitate me. Instead of talking about prayer, you know what? A father shows his children what a man of prayer looks like. Instead of simply teaching about forgiveness, a father models what forgiveness looks like, what integrity looks like, what honesty looks like. For his daughter, he models what she should look for in a husband. And for his son, he models how a man should love his wife. Instead of simply talking about Jesus, a father shows his children what Jesus looks like, revealing the very heart of the Father in everyday life. Amen? You know, Jesus instructed his disciples to preach, to teach, and to demonstrate the good news of the kingdom of God. Paul said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. You know, the kingdom of God is not a philosophy that we can take or leave. It's not something we can simply debate about. See, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's not a philosophy that we can take or leave. It's not a philosophy to debate about. It is truth. It is the power of God that brings salvation. You know, a father. Last week we've been talking about bringing the kingdom near to people, and a father is committed to bring the kingdom near to his children so that they can enter in and experience all the goodness of the kingdom of God and come to know its king, whose name is Jesus. Amen? That's what I want for my children, my child. My many grandchildren. Hallelujah. You know, a father is committed to bring the kingdom near to his children so that they can enter in, near to his family so that they can all enter in. A father is committed to teach, you know. That's instruction and correction. Teach concerning the good news of the kingdom, protecting his family from anything that would rob them from the abundant life that's found in Jesus Christ. He's committed to preach, to encourage. You know, that's what preaching is, isn't it? It's about encouraging. And so a father is committed to preach to his kids. Hear that, family? I must preach to you the kingdom of God. But that's to encourage and to motivate his children, his family, to live by the principles of the kingdom. Amen? And his father is committed to demonstrate. And that's to be an example of what the kingdom of God is all about. Paul says, I urge you, imitate me. Imitate me. I urge you to look at my life. Look at my life and imitate the things I do. Taste and see that God is good. See, a father is committed to see his family and his children walk in the truth. So he fights for them. Paul fought for them. He didn't hand them over to the culture of the day. Father is not shy about expressing love, and in expressing that love, bring a revelation of the Father's heart, the heart of our Heavenly Father. And a father's love is a love that carries weight. Why? Because of his commitment to his family. It's not just words. He is committed to his family because a father is committed to his children's success. Amen? Hallelujah. Fathers, we need you. Our families need you. Our society needs you. Our church needs you. Men like you who will courageously reveal the heart of our Father, our Heavenly Father. So today, we honor you. Amen. We honor you. And I want to do something as the worship team prepares to come back. I want to do something. I have this prayer that I wrote out, because it says a lot of things. And I want to, I'm going to, for the fathers that are here, I'm going to ask you to stand. For those of you who are online, I really want you, maybe close your eyes and really hear the words of what I want to say. But I want to declare this prayer over you this morning. If you're okay, let's do that. If all the fathers, grandfathers would stand. And those of you online, you can stand or just close your eyes. But I want you to just receive this in Jesus' name. So, Father, this morning I ask that you would bless every father and every grandfather with the best of your spiritual blessing today. I pray that you would let him know that he is not alone in the task that you have given him to provide for and to support those under his care. Show him how much you delight in his work and affirm the value of whatever you have given him to do, both as a father and as a grandfather and as a child of yours. Confirm his daily worth, so that he has no reason to doubt whether he is loved in the eyes of his Heavenly Father. I ask you to create in him a deep sense of trust in you, knowing that he can count on you to help him lead and protect those who are dependent on him. Let him know that every unselfish act of love and encouragement he has offered has been a gift that you have received gladly. Show him how effective the prayers of a godly man really are, and what a difference he has and can make in those around him, no matter how big or small the assignment. Father, I ask, when challenging times push him beyond his limits, assure him that you can take him further into the realm of the impossible. Oh God, that we would walk not limited, but walk in the freedom of your kingdom. Speak to his heart the powerful words he longs to hear from you. You know what's in his heart. That nothing can ever separate him from your love. Help him to grasp firmly the promises of your word, standing with faith on the things you have declared are true. Reward him for his faithfulness, past, present, and future, assuring him that true success and satisfaction don't lie in accomplishments or accolades, but in the steadfast, Christ-like character you are forming in him. Demonstrate to him your amazing grace and forgiveness as he seeks to love and to know you with all of his heart, soul, and mind. Release from him unwanted burdens of false guilt and bless him for his willingness to keep short accounts with you, forgiving both himself and others. Help him to see his children or grandchildren through your eyes, realizing that in your hands is the safest place they can ever be. Strengthen his confidence in the only one who can bring good out of any situation. Teach him how to meet the needs of his children's life that are within his ability to do so. But help him trust you for the rest. Put out any needless fears and grant him godly wisdom and spiritual guidance to lead and direct those precious children in your path, knowing he must release them into your hands with prayerful love. Complete any healing of past hurt or regrets that may interfere with parenting or grandparenting his children. Build in him a sense of joy, humility, and playfulness that draw his family close. And when plans don't develop as he hopes or dreams are not yet realized, open his eyes to see beyond this world to a greater joy that never disappoints, and to a father who will never leave or abandon him or his loved ones. Give him a passionate faith, a persevering spirit, and a powerful testimony that overcomes every weakness or doubt as he wears your armor daily. You have provided for him as spiritual leader and child of God. Today and for all the days of his life, fill him with the best of your blessing, so that one day as he stands before you, he will hear your ultimate words of praise. Well done, my son. Well done. I ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said,